Our scripture lesson today is from the prophet Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and 10. Words that are probably familiar to most of you, and as I like to remind you when we hear familiar scripture, to take time to listen with new ears, and see if perhaps there's something there you may not have noticed before. Listen now to God's word to you. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed God's mind about the calamity that the Lord had said he would bring upon them, and the Lord did not do it. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
And the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and they followed Jesus. As Jesus went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. I was 16 years old and a sophomore in high school, and the town that I lived in was very small at the time. It was on the East Coast, Palm Bay, Florida, and there was a new restaurant that was getting ready to open up, and help was wanted. Well, I was really excited about perhaps getting my very first job, and so I filled out an application and I was called in for an interview with Mr. Brown. Well, I was a little nervous, but after the interview was done, I thought that things went okay, and so I was told that I would hear something in a week. Well, a week came and went, and I just figured that it wasn't meant to be. So on the 10th day after the interview, when the phone rang, Cindy's restaurant and that job were the farthest things from my mind. I answered the phone and I said, "Hello." And the voice on the other line said, "May I speak with Dawn, please?" It was a male voice. I didn't recognize it. I said, "Speaking." He said, "Dawn, this is Charlie Brown." And then that's all he said. Well, I thought it was a prank call. So I came back with, "Oh, great, so how's Lucy?" Just totally unlike me, because I can never come back with a witty response in real time. I thought it was pretty good. But after I said that, there was a long silence. And then the person on the other end of the line spoke again and said, "Dawn, this is Charlie Brown, the owner of Cindy's restaurant." I could feel my face flush. My heart started to pound. I thought, oh no, have I ruined it? I'm sure there's a lot of other kids that are after jobs in this new restaurant too. And so there was another long silence. And finally he said, "I've called to offer you a job." Well, you know, really, people with the name of Charlie Brown should have a little more self-awareness, shouldn't they? I mean, if you call somebody that doesn't know you that well, you should at least use Charles or identify why you're calling in the first place. No wonder I thought it was a joke. Jonah did not take God's call seriously either. Scripture doesn't tell us anything about how Jonah did or did not understand his original instructions to go to Nineveh. Perhaps he wasn't so sure of the source of that message. Perhaps he didn't think that it was coming from God. It must have seemed to him like a really, really, really bad dream. He must have been asked, he thought, to do something that was impossible, unthinkable, and totally repulsive. Nineveh was the city described by God as a place of great wickedness. He was called to go and call them to repent that they might avoid destruction. Well, Jonah had good reason to run. The last thing that he wanted to do was to be a conduit of God's grace and forgiveness for the Ninevites. Because if you remember the history of the Ninevites, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and the Assyrians had conquered the Israelites in 722 BC and carried them off into captivity. They were Israel's arch enemies. But not only that, God had not given Jonah any time to think it over. The Bible says that God told Jonah, "Go at once to Nineveh." Likewise, this morning's readings from Mark's, not Matthew's gospel, as I said earlier, there seems to be a sense of great urgency too. Two times in that reading, we hear the word immediately. When called by Jesus by the Sea of Galilee, the first disciples, Peter and Andrew, immediately left their nets and they followed Jesus. Did they really have done that immediately? I'm not so sure. And Jesus is said to have immediately called James and John, who immediately left their nets, their sense of security, and their families behind to follow Jesus. Just like that. Like Jonah, the first disciples, and the first disciples, all of us have been called to discipleship. Jonah in the first covenant, God's promise to them to be their God, through circumcision, and disciples, and all of us through the second covenant, through baptism. In both covenants, God claims us as God's own and blesses us so that we might be a blessing to others. Although calls are different and unique to all of us, all calls have the very same universal objective, so that we can share the grace, the peace, and the justice of God with others. God calls us all throughout our lives, whether we are ready or not. The nature of the call changes with the seasons of our lives, but God always has something for us, and usually several things for us to do. Divine love persistently, diligently pursues us throughout our lives, inviting us to the party of building the kingdom by sharing the love, the grace, the peace, and the justice of Christ in a way that only we can do, like those puzzle pieces that Fran was talking about a little bit ago, throughout the multiple seasons of our lives. We don't know for sure why those disciples were so able to quickly respond to Jesus. Perhaps God had been working on their hearts for a very long time. I know it took me 20 years to answer the call to go to seminary. I wasn't ready. Maybe they hadn't been ready. But perhaps the fishing wasn't that good that day. Perhaps it was the irresistible in the flesh invitation of Jesus that made it impossible for them to do anything else. But I believe that Diana Butler Bass offers the very best explanation in reminding us that fishermen were peasants living on the bottom rungs of an extractive and abusive system in a land occupied by the Roman Empire. Who wouldn't want to escape that life? They were often in conflict with politicians and tax collectors who stole from them. They resented imperial control of their homeland and its lakes and its waters. They swam, she says, in a sea of injustice. Jesus' call to them would have been nothing short than liberating. Our God is a liberating God. Can you hear the echoes of Jesus' first sermon in the Nazareth synagogue? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free. God invites us to share the grace, peace, and justice of God immediately, because there is an immediate need in the world, and there always has been. Sometimes we're asked before we've had much or any preparation or training at all. Just look at the original disciples. They weren't holy people. We don't even know if they were religious at all. They were ordinary people. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors, political activists, and businessmen. But Jesus is always interested and sees the potential in each one of them and each one of us. Remember that the word disciple means student or learner. Jesus is still looking for those who will partner with him in our own community and especially in our own county. Trinity will be hosting. All of us are called to dismantle. Trinity will be hosting two elections, nonpartisan forums for Clearwater residents. The first is tomorrow on the 22nd for city council positions. Now that feels into our Matthew 25 initiative, where we are supposed to be eradicating structural poverty. Also at Trinity, the three prongs of being a Matthew 25 church is we're supposed to be working on church vitality. And I think what Fran said again about the puzzle pieces is just right. One of the things that we're doing today to work on church vitality is having a third Sunday dinner. When we come together in fellowship and we get to know one another in a better way, and we each have a puzzle piece, and we're not complete unless everyone is there. If even one person withholds, then the church is poorer for it. I think about the beautiful harmony that was sung this morning between Amber and Gabe. What if they were all by themselves? It'd still be beautiful, but it wouldn't have been quite as beautiful. I think about these flowers that Bob Booth graces the sanctuary with. I know that we have some really good silks, but they never look quite as good as Bob's. We all are gifted in different ways, and the more we come together and get to know one another and build relationships with another and with God, the more we reflect God's grace and God's glory and the people that we are supposed to be. We are also this month honoring the second prong of being a Matthew 25 congregation, and that is we are dismantling systemic racism. So we met with the task force last Wednesday, the Racial Equity Task Force, and we have two more opportunities to come. And if you missed or you can't come, we're recording those, and we can send you out the recordings. So call Jeremy in the church office, and he'll be glad to get those to you. We also, this month, are honoring the third prong of being a Matthew 25 congregation to eradicate structural poverty. So the ways that we are doing that, of course, are with the Manna Box and with our feeding ministries, to the Pinellas Hope ministry, and also through Cold Night Shelter. So last night, we had a little breakdown with getting in touch with the hotel, but we hope that we were able to shelter two families. These families, one of them was a single parent with a 16-year-old, and the other one was a parent with a child who was 5, 3, and 1 year old without a place to stay. So these are some of the ways that we tackle that. But we also are working together, and we must vote, and we must be responsible in who we elect and see what they are doing for the least of these. And we have two opportunities to do that that I mentioned in the announcements this morning. One next Monday, where we'll hear from our city those who are running for city council, and one the following Monday when we'll hear from those who are running for mayor. And this is a nonpartisan gathering. So I hope that those of you who live in Clearwater will come and listen to what these folks have to say. Jesus can take our little bit, and when we put all of our offerings together, can make a lot. When Norm was here last Wednesday, he shared that one time somebody asked him what he thought he was trying to do. Was he trying to change the world by telling people of his experience with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and also his participation on the Racial Equity Task Force? And he said, no, I'm not trying to change the world, and I'm paraphrasing for him, but he said, I'm just trying to share and influence those people within my circle, within my sphere of influence, and then maybe they will do the same in their circles or their spheres of influence. And if we all did that, I think that is also God's mission and idea for how to change the world. We all have a part to play in building God's kingdom of peace, justice, and grace. We are standing on the brink of a brand new year. And all of us, by virtue of our baptisms, have been blessed to be a blessing. God always has a call waiting for each of us throughout each and every season of our lives. In working for love, grace, and justice for all of God's people and for the creation. I know you can't forget that we're an Earth Care congregation. At Trinity Presbyterian Church Clearwater, our ministry efforts address these immediate needs. I also believe that we are being called to witness this grace, peace, and justice of Christ in the midst of the diversity that God is creating here at Trinity Presbyterian Church, by bringing the Hispanic church, the Aguilas church, and by also bringing the Garden of Grace ministries here that are worshiping right now in this time and this place. I've contacted the pastors for those groups, the pastor and the Apostle Norma. She doesn't call herself pastor. And we are partnering. We have a potluck, a joint potluck coming up. Watch details for the date of that potluck. But we're going to meet in the south parking lot with all three worshiping congregations. Some are considering coming and working alongside of us, to help Friends of Hope and feed those who are hungry. And then in September, the September 21st is the International World Day Prayer for Peace. And we are going to host an ecumenical prayer service for peace, inviting not only those two faith communities, but also many others from the area. We're just starting planning it now. And that's just the beginning. I'm just so excited about what God is doing by bringing all of these different communities here. And I don't know exactly what God is up to, but I do know that Jesus' longest prayer was from John 21, and it was that we would be one. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all witness to that together? It won't be easy. We're all different, but it's worth the effort. Divine love is calling us throughout the seasons of our life, not to offer us just a job, but together, to do nothing less than change the world. On the brink of this new year, in this season, in this time, and in this place, what is God calling you to do? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
And because they had such a wonderful fellowship, not only with Jesus, but with one another, this very small movement that spoke Aramaic has spread. And now today, Christianity is in, can be found in every continent on the world and is spoken by more languages than we can count. So remember your baptism. Remember that we have been blessed to be blessed to share God's grace, peace, and don't forget justice. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia, and all of God's people said, Amen.